Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Kuf Ches. We're starting a brand new perek, the famous perek Yesh Nochlin, where the perek tells us all the Hilchis Nachlois and all the order of the Hilchis Nachlois. Can I trouble you? Bring a chumash.
You want stuff that?
Preferably. That's perfect. Excellent. Sorry, I should have brought it myself. My apologies. So we're going to see in Mi'at Hashem that a lot of the Hilchos Nachlois, which are specified in our Mishnah, do not say clearly in the Torah, but it's based on drushes, Chazal, and we're going to have to go through each one carefully to understand it and to be able to follow it. The general rules in our Mishnah are pretty straightforward. Our Mishnah begins that there are four categories, Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin. There are those that, number one, nochel, they are beneficiaries of an estate automatically. We're not talking about a person that writes out a last will and testament. We're talking about a decedent who passed away without leaving any instructions. So the Torah gives us instructions as who gets first and who gets second, etc. And we're going to look at those psukim soon. But in the meantime, yesh nochlin, there are some people that have the right under the Torah to receive a nachla from the deceased, as well as a manchilin, and they have the right, that's not only the right, but they have the responsibility of being manchil, of giving a nachla to those that live on after them, to their beneficiaries. We'll see what that means in a moment. Now there are those that have the benefit of being able to be nochel, to receive a nachla, however, they do not have that achrayus or that authority to go and be manchel. You can always go and make separate instructions. But we're talking about if a person did not leave a last will and testament, what would be the din? Then the third category is manchil and v'lein oichlin. Those people that are manchel give an achla, but they don't receive an achla. And then there's finally v'lein oichlin v'lein manchilin, where they neither receive nor do they give an achla. Okay, so now that we have the four categories, let's explain. So we start again from the beginning. You have av es habonim, v'habonim es o'av. If chas v'sholem, a father passes away, he leaves a nachla for his children. If children pass away without leaving children of their own, then they leave their nachla for their father. Now, the Lashon HaMishnah, ho'av es habonim, means noichlin umanchilin. That means that the father takes a nachla from his children, or he receives a nachla from his children if his children predecease him. The Gemara is going to ask, why would we want to start off the Mishnah in such a negative way? Because after all, we know the Derech HaOlam is that the older people, as they get older, they approach 120, then they pass away, they leave a nachla for their children. It's a rare situation where a child passes away and leaves a nachla for his father. When that happens, of course, it's considered to be a major tragedy. Nebuch, a parent has to go and sit shiva for a child. So it's a little bit, I don't want to say disturbing, but it's of concern. Why would the Mishnah start off with the first example of noichlin umanchilin, that a father is noichel, he receives a benefit, he receives an inheritance from his children? It should be the other way around. We should start the Mishnah, habonim es ha'av, that the children receive a nachla from their father, because that's the derech ha'olam. Saying av es habonim, unfortunately, he starts off on a negative note, and we're going to see that the Gemara is going to ask that as soon as we finish the Mishnah. So, but basically what it means, av es habonim, that it's reciprocal, that it's mutual. When the father passes away first, the children receive from the father. If the children pass away first, leaving no kin of their own, then they leave their nachla to their father. And the third in that category is ho'achim min ho'av, siblings, brothers. What happens, chas v'sholem, Reuven passes away, leaving no children. Initially, the nachla would go to the father. But what happens if Reuven passed away without children, and his father Yaakov had already also passed away previously? So you have a single ach. What happens now? Then the Yerusha goes to the brothers. So you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, etc. Even though we know in the Torah that the Shifteka came from four different Imohois. However, okay, maybe not four Imohois, two Imohois and two, etc. Anyway, four altogether. Point is, since Yaakov was the common father for all 12, they're all Achim Min Ho'av, so if any one of them passes away, leaving no children, and Yaakov had already predeceased them, then it goes to the fellow brothers. Reuven Zachar would then go to Shimon Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, etc. So those are the three where Av Sabanim, Banim Sa'av, Achim Ma'av, Noichlin Manchilin. It goes both directions. It's mutual reciprocity. Now we get to the second category. Hu ishes imoy, hu ishes ishtoy, hu b'nei achoyes. They're noichlin v'loy manchilin. That means, chas v'sholem, if a person's mother passes away, he receives her yerusha. Yeah, the mother passed away, leaving over a couple of boys. We're going to talk about bonois later on. But in the meantime, she left over sons, so then the sons are noichl from her. What happens if, chas v'sholem, a son passes away, and there is no father, and there are no children, and he has no brothers, just a single son? Does the mother receive a nachla min ha-Torah? And the answer is no. The only one that receives a nachla, the mother passes away, she leaves her Yerusha for the son. When the son passes away, he does not leave a Yerusha for his mother.
No one else survives except the mother. Who gets it then? No other survived, no other
uncles,
kinship.
Uncles, maybe?
The Gemara, the Mishnah assumes, and maybe we'll have a later Mishnah or later Gemara, but the Mishnah assumes that if you dig deeply enough, you'll find a Karev. Especially if you're really concerned, put a full page ad in the newspapers, and within a day you're going to have 50 people online saying yes, that they happen to be the eighth cousin once removed from
the father. Mother.
Sorry, once again?
They come before the mother.
Yeah. Now, when they come before the mother, has no right of Yerusha. She has no automatic right from the son, correct. You're wondering why? We're going to talk about this in the Gemara at great length. But
a cousin has a great claim.
If it's a cousin from the father's side, not from the mother's
side. From the father's side.
Correct. Yes. He gets before the mother gets. Okay? Now remember, this is of course Jewish law, not necessarily under secular law.
I understand.
And we have dinam of
Jewish law.
Exactly. And we have dinam of Malchus Adina, whether that supersedes this or not, Chveisnish, but it's certainly not discussed in our Mishnah. So, if a son receives a nachla from the mother, and the mother does not receive a nachla from the son. Every one of the parts of the Mishnah is going to be explored as to the makar, as to the psukim, as we get into the Gemara Mi'at Hashem.
Let's discuss a daughter.
I said before, our Mishnah focuses here on all the sons of Mishnah. We're going to have daughters as well. That's going to be further discussion in the Gemara. So, in the meantime, we want to assume that all the girls live forever, and therefore they don't have to be noichel, they don't have to be manchel. Good. So that's ish es imai. Then you have a ish es ishtai. If chas v'sholem a woman passes away, a wife passes away, then the husband is noichel from the wife. However, if the husband passes away, then the isha is not noicheles from the husband. She gets, of course, if she's an almana, she gets her 100 or 200, whatever it says in the ksuba, together with any other additional portions of the ksuba, Toisis ksuba. But in terms of minatoira, a wife does not yarshin from her husband, but the husband yarshins from the wife. Ubnei achoyos. Now, exactly what bnei achoyos means, Rishbam has a couple of different pshatim, and he goes back and forth. Let's put that on the side for a moment, and we're going to come back to it. These three, Ishes Imoy, Ishes Ishtoy, Bnei Achoyos, Noichlin, they receive an Achla, V'loy Manchilin, but they do not give an Achla. So that's why the son receives an Achla from his mother, and the husband receives an Achla from his wife, but it's not the other way around. The mother does not receive from the son, and the wife does not go and receive from the husband. And Bnei Achoyos we'll talk about shortly. The third category is Oisha Es Baneha, for Isha as Baala, v'achei ha'em. What is this all about? As we'll see momentarily, this is really just the mirror image of the previous case. And that is, ha'isha es baneha, a woman is, she is manchil, like the end of this shtickle is Isha is Baner, Isha is Baal, V'achia Eim, manchil v'nayloichen. So if a woman passes away, she's manchil to her children. However, l'nayloichen, but she does not receive a nachla from her children. And the same thing, Isha is Baal. If the woman passes away, the wife passes away, she's manchil to her husband. Her husband receives from the wife. But it's not the other way around. And that is, if the husband passes away, the Isha does not receive any Yerusha from her husband. So these two cases, as you can see, are exactly the mirror images, or the, if you will, the flip side of the previous two cases. Because we said, Isha's imoy, he's noichav alei manchel. So that's the same thing as saying that Isha es banel, she's manchel and not noichalis. And Isha's ishtoy is noichav alei manchel. So that's the same thing as saying, Ho'isha's Baala, Manchil v'Neyaloichlin. And in fact, Rishbam already pointed out a couple of times, and the Gemara is going to ask, why are we repeating it? But now let's get to Achio Eim, Manchil v'Neyaloichlin. What means Achio Eim? A person has, everybody, Baruch Hashem, has a mother. And now, if the mother has a brother, so that brother of the mother is now the uncle of the individual that we're talking about. What happens if that uncle Cholil v'chas were to bone pass away? He's manchel, he leaves a nachla for his nephew. You have the brother, who's the uncle, married, not married. He is the brother of the mother. The mother is married, not married at this point, is really of no consequence. But she has a son. That son, therefore, is a nephew of the Achio Eim, which is the uncle. So then, what's the din now? The uncle is manchel, he leaves a nachla for his nephew. All of these are talking about for Sheitzach, that he didn't have his own children, and that he didn't have a father anymore, he didn't have brothers anymore. So he is manchel for the nephew. But if the nephew were to pass away, then the uncle does not receive any nachla from that nephew. Doesn't go through the mother to him, he does not receive any. So now, based on this, says Rishbam, we can understand what means b'nei achoyis. In fact, Rishbam says, l'choyra, we should change the gears and not to b'nei achoyis, but b'nei achoyis. The b'nei achoyis, meaning the children of the sister of the uncle, they are nochel, they receive a nachla from their uncle, v'lei manchel, but they don't give a nachla to their uncle. Oh, so now by saying b'nei achoyis, achoyis means the children of the sister, as opposed to b'nei achoyis, which would mean cousins, children of sisters, since we say b'nei achoyis, so this becomes again the flip side of the achei ho'eim. Just like by achei ho'eim, our manchel, the uncles, leave for the nephews, but don't receive anything from the nephew, so the same thing is b'nei achoyis, or b'nei achoyis, that they are noichel, the nephews receive from the uncle, but they do not give a nachla to the uncle. Finally, the Mishnah says, what's the fourth case? What happens if you have five brothers, 10 brothers, all having the same mother, but having different fathers, even though they're all half-brothers? The Gemara is going to darshan numerous times, Mishpacha Sa'av, Kori Mishpacha, Mishpacha Sa'aim, Eina Kori Mishpacha. So even though these brothers may have tremendous brotherly love for one another, because after all, they are half-brothers, they all have the same mother. But since they do not have the same father, there is no din of nachla min hatayr. And again, every one of these cases will be explored in the Gemara as to the makoyrois, and as to what are all the ramifications. So zok di Gemara. We started off the Mishnah that who are noichlin umanchilin, for instance, a father is noichel from his children, if the children pass away, and the children are noichel from their father, if the father passes away. Why should the Mishnah start off on the wrong foot, saying that the Av Chas V'Sholem is receiving a nachla from his children? After all, the next case right after that is Habanim Esav. Let it say Habanim Esav first, and Av Habanim second. By saying Abonim Sa'av Bereisha, that would be the normal way of the world. By going and having Avis Abonim first, says the Gemara, Choda Dischuli B'Paranusale Meschalin. And why would the Tana want to start off the Mishnah talking about a case of Paranus? Paranus means of divine punishment. This is considered to be a terrible thing that Chas V'Shalom, a son passes away, leaving over a parent or two. Parents never have to sit shiva after their child. So many of you probably read about the fact that 2 days ago, 3 days ago, a terrorist went crazy in Khadera with a knife and with an axe, and he severely wounded initially 4 people, and then one of the 4, Nebuch, passed away. And that one that passed away was an Avrech, a younger man, a son of a Rosh Hashiva from Bnei Brak. They say he was a tremendous masman, a very choshev, a younger man. He had 8 children, Nebuch, left over together with his wife. It's a terrible tragedy, especially, you know, at the beginning of the new year. And it's taka terrible. What many people do not know is that before this terrorist ran around town trying to find korbanos and victims to go and kill, he first approached an elementary school. An elementary school, there were tens of children over there studying in school, and he tried to get into the school, but the doors were locked. And he pushed and he pulled and he climbed and he couldn't get in. And Baruch Hashem, all of those children were spared. So even though it was taka ischuli perpenusa, we started off the year on a very bad foot vis-a-vis that younger man. And of course, soldiers never pass from time to time. But Baruch Hashem was a tremendous bracha. Can you imagine, Nebuch, how many mishpachas would have to sit shiva after all of these kleine kindlech? Would have been a terrible tragedy. So Baruch Hashem, al nisecha shebchol yom imanu. Anyway, so that's the first case. Freiti Mara, why are we starting off avos avonim aschuli perpenusa loy maschalina? V'oid, and moreover, kidach siv, why wouldn't the Torah Shebaal Peh fit nicely in the same pattern as the Torah Shebichsav? Kidach siv, ish ki yomus uvein ein loy. That's the very first pasuk in Hilchos Nachlois. It's a pasuk that's dealing with the Benoist Slavchad, but this pasuk is the first pasuk that introduces the Nachlois. If you look in number 1 of the Torah Ora Shalem, if you have it, Ve'el b'nei Yisrael to daber leimar, go and say to Klal Yisrael, ish ki yomus, a person passes away, uvein ein loy, and he has no sons. Now this goes to what Mendy was asking before. Va'avartem es nachlasa levitoy. First you give to the sons. If they're no sons, then it goes to the daughters. Aha. But doesn't say anything about fathers. It just says ish ki yomus, uvein ein loy. So therefore, what are we talking about? We're talking about Nebuch, a person passed away. What happens if he had a son? Then the son, of course, would go and yarshin from him. Ah, so therefore the pasuk is telling you is that normally a person passes away, and then the son yarshins. If there is no son, because, for instance, he didn't have sons, he had 12 daughters, he didn't have any sons, these things happen. So what happens? And then you go and give it to the bas. Oh, so you see that the normal way of things is that the older generation, Chas V'Shalom, passes on and leaves Nachlis for the younger generation. That being the case, so why doesn't our Mishnah start off that way? Since the Torah Shebichsav starts off that way, shouldn't the Torah Shebaal Peh fall into line the same way? So it should say that the father passes away first, and then the sons are noichel from the father. Everything more, I'll tell you why. Tana aidi asile midrasha chavivale. The Tana, since this halacha that we're learning in the Mishnah, that the father yarshins the son, and he is the first one online to go and yarshin the son, assuming that the son has no children of his own. It doesn't say it beferish in the Torah. We learn it from a drasha, as we'll see in a moment. Chavivalei, it's like anybody that comes into the Bais Medrash one day and says, Rabbi Yisai, I want to share with you a chiddush. Last night I couldn't sleep, I was turning and tossing in bed, and then I realized a tremendous chiddush which I didn't see anywhere, I'd like to share it with you. And that's the Tana of our Mishnah. He wanted to go and share this tremendous drasha because it has a special chavivus. Praytimar, my drasha, what drasha are you referring to? The Sanya, it says in the Pasuk, She'eiroi zeho av, malamicha av, koidem li achim. So to this point, where I once again thank Ariel for giving us the chumash, we go into the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where it says, it's not all the way at the end, but it gets towards the end. Right? It talks about Pashas Kenchik, right? 100% right. So what does it say in the Pasuk? Del B'nai Yisrael to Dabalim. This is Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Vel b'nei Yisrael tadaber leimar. Go and tell Klal Yisrael. Ish ki yomus, a person passes away. Uvein ein loy, and he has no sons. Vavartum is nachlos levitoi. Give the nachla to the daughter. V'imeinli bas, what happens if a person has neither son nor daughter? Unesatim es nachlosoi li echov. Then you go and give the nachla to the deceased brothers. Notice we didn't say anything about a father. Gunish, nothing. So far we have a person passes away, goes to the son. No son, goes to the daughter. No daughter, give it to the siblings, the brothers of the niftar. V'imeinliachim, what happens if he has no brothers? Unesatim es nachlosoi la'achei oviv. Then give his nachla to his uncle. Again, these are paternal uncles. The uncle being the brother of his father. So, if Reuven passed away, and he... let's not talk about Reuven. Reuven had a son. The son, again, we're talking about the biblical, in the Torah, the Shiftei Kah. So Reuven had a son. The son passed away, and he looks around. His father, Reuven, had already predeceased him. This young man, the son of Reuven, was not married, or he was married, and he had no children. So therefore, he has no children to give to. He has no father to give to. However, Reuven still has a younger brother, Yosef, or Binyamin, or someone down the line. So then, Reuven's son would be manchil to the Achi Aviv, to one of the brothers of his father. What happens if there are no uncles? Oh, now the Torah tells us, Unesatim es nachlosa lishe'eroi ha'korov elam mishpachtoi. The word she'er means a family member, the one that's closest from the mishpacha, b'yorash oisa, and that person is going to yashin. Now what means l'she'eroi? So our Gemara today says she'eroi means the father. Father is not mentioned anywhere else in this parsha. That's the she'eroi, that's the father. I know that many of you are thinking to yourself, don't we normally dashin she'eroi zo? Exactly. And that's going to be tomorrow's Gemara Mir Teshem on Kuf Tes Amid Beis, 4 or 5 lines from the top. How are you telling me She'eiroi is coming for father? Isn't it telling you She'eiroi zu Ishtoi? Malamit Shebal Yorish is Ishtoi. To mention that will be tomorrow. But for today's Gemara, She'eiroi means the Av. How do I know means the Av? We're going to see shortly Psukim that suggests that She'er means a father. Now, that's the chiddush number one of our Tana. The she'eroi means father. But chiddush number two is that we take the she'eroi akarav elav and we push him towards the front of the line. Because remember, the order of the nachlois is very clear. Person dies, son. No son, goes to the daughter. No son, no daughter, give it to the brothers of the decedent. No brothers, give it to the uncles. But it doesn't mention anything about a father. Oh! That's unesatmes nachlos li she'eroi. Give it to the father. There's only one problem, because our Mishnah says that he's first in line. Right. If there is no son, then the av is noichel from the banim. Why is it av noichel from the banim? Before that, you have to have all these others. The brothers would go, and the uncles would go,
the grandsons
would go, etc. How are we pushing him all the way to the front of the line? So then the Gemara is going to say, because it says, L'sh'eirei, ha'korav eva mimishpachtoi, ha'korav korav koidim. By the fact that he is a korav, then he is closer than the others. For instance, this very pasuk itself says, V'im ein achim li'oviv, the father, in other words, in our case, Reuven's son passed away. Reuven's son had no children of his own. He looks to his father. The father already predeceased him. He passed away earlier, as could have been expected. Who gets the nachla now? It goes now, V'yemein achim li'oviv, go and give it to Shimon Levi Yehud Yisachar, any one of the brothers that's left behind. And then it says here in the Bosh, V'yemein achim li'oviv, what happens if Reuven has no brothers? So now, learning Pashit, unesatim nachlos l'she'eroi, give it to Reuven. Mister, the only reason the brothers of Reuven would receive, they are derivative of Reuven. If Reuven is still around, we shouldn't even be talking about Yo'acham Li'oviv, Nisht Acham Li'oviv. It should go straight to the father. So that's why the Gemara Darshan today, and that's why the Drush is so Chaviv, that Hakorav Elov pushes father to the front of the line. Now the question is, all the way at the front? No, not all the way at the front. first thing is ishkiyomus uvein einlo. You first give it to the son. No son, you give it to the daughter. No son and no daughter. Then father is placed there in the middle, and he goes before the echa, before the surviving brothers.
What about the grandson?
That we can talk more about in the Gemara. Our Mishnah doesn't talk about it, and the Gemara later on is going to go and say that when we talk about sons, we mean b'nei banim harim kebanim, and it goes on. Yeah. But you're right. Anyway, so the father, therefore, is not only referred to in the pasuk according to our Mishnah by the word she'eroi, but it's also karev elav. You push it to the front after the ben ubas, but before the ach. And that's what our Gemara is going to discuss now. Why? Why do we give the father that covering? We should give him covering, keep it aim for sure. But who says that there's a din of that he should go and get a nachla before the brothers, but not before the sons? So yeah, the reason why we started off the Mishnah talking about ha'av es ha'bonim, even though terrible thing that a father should have to dash, should have to yashin from children. And the pasuk says shkiyomus uvein einloi. So normally the person passes away and leaves this for his children. Not that the children pass away and leave it for the father. But echadachad drasha. Drasha is chavivule. So to be more, who my drasha? So we're talking about the drasha. And it says there in the pasuk, she'eroi karev elav, she'eroi zeho av. How do I know? Gemara doesn't tell us the psukim. However, if you look in Rishbam, Rishbam says, I have two psukim in the Torah. If you look at the Rishbam, the fourth line from the top, we're on to the fifth line, that is the Av Shel Meis, Vashmein and Kro. Yeah, we'll talk. Vashmein and Kro, and the pasuk comes to tell you, Shu'av Pa'omim Shiyodish Es Benoi, sometimes a father yarshins his son to she'er hayo aviv. How do I know she'er is aviv? Kirach Siv says in the pasuk she'er avichahu. That's in the parish of Aroyois. Talks about she'er avichahu. Kirach, come on. The Gemara is going to bring it later. Uksiv nami, and I have another pasuk. It says kiyim le'she'er hakarav elav le'imoy le'aviv. This is in parashas Emor, where it's talking about when the kohen can or cannot go be metame. So he's allowed to be metame the she'er hakarav elav le'imoy uli aviv. Ah, so she'er is referring to aviv, to his father.
Maybe his mother is le'imoy uli aviv.
I'm assuming that Gemara is going to ask that as well. Right, Rishbam just is trying to prove. Don't think oh she'er is uishtoi. She'er means taka aviv because she'er avichahu and because of the other pasuk she'er imoy uli aviv. But you have a good point. But Mitch, you'll see tomorrow. Throughout this parak, we're going to go and be darshaning virtually every word in the parish of Nachlois, here in parish of Pinchas. Aha. Okay, so that's chiddush number one. Now, all I know, therefore, that an av is a nochel, he is a yoresh. Without this drasha, I wouldn't even know that he has any right to go in yashin. So I have that now, that the av is the one that's referred to in the pasuk as the she'erai. Okay, but now, we push him up ahead on the line that he's before the achim, but he doesn't go before the banim. I would think maybe you should put him all the way to the front of the line. In other words, even before banim, the person passes away, he leaves over both a father and children. I would think, don't give the Yerusha to the children. Give the Yerusha to the father, in other words, the grandfather of these children. So I might have thought. Tamalim, that's why he says the she'eri ha-karav elav. Karav kaidem. What does karav kaidem mean? It means that a ben goes first, and an av goes second, and ultimately the ach goes third. Frey Timara, it just says in the pasuk karav kaidem. Why are you assuming that when a person passes away, his closest relative is his son? Maybe his closest relative is his father. After all, his father's the one that fathered him through his mother, and so therefore maybe that's even a stronger kurva than the person's son. So tomorrow, Amara Isla Rabbi says a ben. Moreover, once we are pushing father to the front, and we're saying it's after son, maybe we should say it's also after the brother. Maybe the brother should also come ahead of the line. Why are we putting father right after son? Maybe we should put him after the brother. And that's what the Gemara explores now. Umari Isa L'Rabbis Es HaBen Ulohoitzi Es Ho'ach. says, I'll tell you what. Mar ben Yisa ben, shkein kom taches oviv liyada ulestei achuza. We find in the Torah two times that when the father is no longer there, or the father, for whatever, is out of the picture, that the son can be the successor or the replacement for his father. Where do we find that? We find that by Hilchas Yud and Steachuzah. What's my Yud? If a person bought an Amma Ivriya, then the Torah says that one of the things that we're expecting is not only that she is going to go and serve him, but that in fact that she's going to go and marry him. And that is one of the reasons why the Torah gives the Parsha of the Amma Ivriya, so that we have an opportunity. I mean, if you look at it with cold eyes, you look in the Parsha, in Parsha's Mishpatim, about a person selling his daughter. And we're not talking about an older daughter. We're talking about a little girl that's less than Bas Simanim. She's less than 12 years old. She's 8, she's 9, she's 10. Why would you go and sell a little girl like that into slavery? After all, she becomes now an Amma Ivriya. We don't call her an Eved, we call her an Amma, but that's the same type. Why would a person do that? So it sounds almost like you have a father that's being cruel. But I think it's the Meiri that says it's quite to the contrary. We don't know the terrible poverty that people had during those days, and people were starving, and they had children, and what are the children going to go and do? So maybe you sent the boys out and say, do some chores, do whatever you can, make some money, get petty cash, whatever. But the girls you couldn't send out because unfortunately they would be prey for all types of shkutzim and people that are not nice. So, kokvud bas melech panima. So the best thing is, marry them off as soon as possible. So if you can go and get a shidduch, she's only 5 years old or 10 years old, oh, wonderful. This way, Baruch Hashem, she'll have a life, she'll hopefully have a good husband who'll treat her nicely, and she'll have food and board and all the rest. Aha. So Zokti Gemara, you have an Amivriya that was sold now to Yankel, and for whatever reason, Yankel does not want to marry her. So the Pasuk says, V'im livno yi'odena, k'mishpat abonis yasala. If the father didn't want to do yid, then the son has that same right to do yid. And Rishbam, in fact, focuses on the fact that the son doesn't even have to give new kesef kiddushin. He can rely on the original purchase price that the Odoin paid for this girl. He can use that as the Kesef Kedushin, and the son can use it as Kesef Kedushin. Ah, so you see that Ben is Komtachas Aviv for Yud. If neither the father nor the son want to be Miyayid, so then eventually they should either free her or wait till she becomes Basimanim, and then she'll become free automatically.
Is it Mevatel and Esser if you're not Meayayid
Is it a mitzvah or is it a Rishus?
I don't know. It's a very good question. One would have to look up, you know, the Chinuch or the Rambam to see whether it's a Chiyuv or whether it's just a volunteer, a nice thing to do, a Chesed, as opposed to, I don't know that it's a Chiyuv, a Chvesish. Anyway, so we see that the Ben is Komtachas of Eliyata, and also the Gabi Steyachuz. Now, what means Steyachuz? If a person owns a steachuza and he is makdish the steachuza to the gizbar, to the Beis Hamikdash, and then the gizbar comes back to him a few days later and says, that's so nice, you're going to be the guest of honor at the next Beis Hamikdash gala dinner because of this wonderful donation that you made, but I got to tell you that the Beis Hamikdash cannot use your sada. Would you like to go and redeem it? If the person says yes, he redeems it, then he can go and take it back. Of course, if it happens to be a soda where you can go and plan things, so it's a zera chayim sa'irim, we already had a few days ago in the Gemara, get that special formula, chamishim shekel kosef, base zera chayim sa'irim, chamishim shekel kosef. And if it happens to be, what happens if the father, not the father, if the person who owned the steyachuzah said, no, Gizmai, thank you very much for giving me the first option, but I turn it down, I'm really not interested. Now what happens, therefore, if the Gizbar now sold it li'ish acher? He sold it to somebody else in the street. And he sold it for the best price possible. He maybe made a public auction out of it, whatever it was. And now somebody bought it. Now when it comes yoivel year, normally we know a stay mikna in yoivel year goes back to the original owner of the stay achuza. Either person owned the stay achuza. Yankel owned the steyachuzah, he sold it to Beryl. Beryl holds on to it for up to 50 years until Yovel year. Yovel year, Beryl, nice knowing you. Property goes back to Yankel. That's the simple halacha of steyachuzah. But here we're not talking about a sale. Here we're talking about he was makdish it. So the pasuk says to the effect of the goala, and the mochar and the gizra sold al ish acher, then it doesn't go back. Lo yetsi b'yoyvel doesn't go back to the original owner, the one that was makdish. And it goes to the kohanim. The kohanim of that mishmar, they receive that steachuza that the father was makdish. Now the lashon of the pasuk is that in it goes the ish acher v'imloy if he wasn't goyel it, and then you go and sell it in mocher sasodel ish acher lo yigoyel oit. Now who is that ish acher? Ish acher means the chayra anybody. However, the Gemara darshins ish acher v'loy lebnoi. What happens if the ben was the one that was poided instead of a third party? Then, in fact, it would go back to the father after all. When do we say it doesn't go back in Yovel here? It goes to the kahanim. If it was sold ish acher, darshin more ish acher v'loy lebnoi. Ah, since it goes v'loy lebnoi, what happens, Taka? Vis-a-vis steachuza that someone was makdish. The ben is like the father, he's an extension of the father, that it does not go to the kahana, but it goes back to the father. Ah, so what do I see from this? So we see that a ben is kom taches aviv, saife hilchos yud, that we discussed before about omivriyam, as well as by esteichuza, that causes the ben to be first in line after chas v'sholom, a person passes away, and gives him even adifus priority over his own grandfather, right? If Reuven passed away, and he left over a son, the son Yashins, not Yaakov, if Yaakov was still alive, but rather the son of Reuven. Why the son of Reuven comes first? Kom tachas ob liyoda ulisteachus. So, Frank Timora, once you've told me that svara, why did you insert father in between the son and a brother? Why don't you go and say Adraman Miniesa Ach? Let's go and push Ach to the front of the line, even before Ben, and therefore have Ach, Ben, and Av. Now you're gonna ask me, why should I propel Ach to the front of the line? He's also Shekein Kom Taches Ochiv LeYibum. What happens, Chas V'Sholom, if a person passes away, leaving no children and leaving an Almana? So we know that the Almana falls to the brother-in-law, the brother of the deceased. And in fact, if and when he does Yibam, he in fact gets the Nachla of his brother. So that being the case, an Ach can do that, the Av cannot do that, and the Ben cannot do that, only the Ach. So now give Ach a certain priority at the beginning of the line, because of the fact that he is Kom Taches Ochiv LeYibam, and perhaps even give him priority prior to the Ben. Zokti Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Because klum yeshivim el b'mokim she'ein ben, the whole yibam is only if there's no children from this marriage. Ha'b'mokim she'eish ben, but if there is a son, or there's a daughter, if there's any zera, and yibam, there's no din of yibam. So what do I see from this? That even in Hilchos yibam, it's the ben that comes before the ach. Not that the ben would go and make yibam, but if there is a ben, there is no din of yibam. The whole din of yibam is because there is no ben. So ben, therefore, has priority. Ah, so therefore I know now that Ben has priority over Ach by the fact that Ach really has no priority at all over Ben, because the Ach is only Yibam, and if there's a child, there's no Yibam. But Frank Tiyamara, let me ask you a question. Tamad Ika Hay Pircha, the reason why you're saying we're not going to propel the Ach prior to the Ben is because Klum Yesh Yibam B'mokim, Klum Yesh Yibam B'mokim Ben. What happens if you didn't have that svara? Have a minute, then you might have thought Ach is odd, if that Ach would come in front of the line even before the Ben. Why don't you go and say it's two against one? In other words, putting aside this b'mokim shiyesh ben yo yibam nish yibam, the fact of the matter is l'gabi the Ben, he's come tachas over for two purposes, for yud and for steachuza. However, vis-a-vis the Ach, he's only kom taches ochiv for one purpose, for yibam. So it's two against one, and that's why the ben comes before the ach. Why didn't you give that reason? After tomorrow, I'll tell you why. Because the achuzah gufa mehaytay mahuda kakayim alei letana letana. What does the Gemara mean to say? How do we know that the ben is kom taches ochiv for purpose of stay achuzah? It really doesn't say it in the Torah. Gabi Yod, it says Befedish, Vim Livno Yodera. Livnoi means the son. So that's nothing to talk about. Here, the Gabi the Hilchis Teachuza, it's only based on that if the original owner of the property, Vim Lo Yigal Esas Soda, he doesn't want to be goyel the field that he was makdish. The amacher is a sodali ish acher, and the gizba therefore was forced to find an ish acher, a foreigner, someone else. Then lo yigoyel oyel, it's already too late. You can no longer be goyel, and it will go beyoyvul to the kahal. So the gemara darshan li ish acher v'loy livnoi, but then it's different. Why do we go and darshan li ish acher v'loy liach? That the ach is different. So you're going to go and say, yeah, but the son has a shaykhis to the father more than the brother has a shaykhis. How does the son have a shaykhis?
He'll eventually inherit the field if nothing's makdish.
Okay, we'll be putting that aside. The Gemara, not here, but the Gemara elsewhere, I think it's in Erchen, that deals with these issues, says that the reason is because the ben is kom tachas oviv liyud. Since we find the Torah is kom tachas oviv liyud, we're going to say liish acher, v'loy libnoi, that the ben is also kam tachas aviv for steyachuza purposes. Frank Demora, in Erechin, why don't we go and say, no, it should go to the ach. She's telling me, well, the ben is kam tachas aviv liyud, the ach is kam tachas aviv liyibum. So therefore I have one and one. The ben replaces his father in yud, the brother replaces his brother in hilchos yibum. Now we have a steyachuza. It says in the pasuk, the mocher is suddenly ish acher v'loy le. Fill in a blank either way. You can fill it in with ben, or you can fill it in with ach. Here you cannot say it's two against one, because I'm trying to derive the makar for steyachuz in the first place. Zok demora, v'hocha chada, steyachuz, the top line, steyachuz, the gufame haitaima huda kakaim le letana. Why, in fact, gzuntait? Why do we say that when it comes to the din of steyachuza, it goes to the ben and not to the ach? In other words, that pasuk that says that he sells the ish acher v'loy. Why do we fill in v'loy libnoi? Why do we fill in v'loy liach? I'll tell you why. Because even in hilchos yibam, it's not that ach goes first. Ach is really second. The only way that he has yibam is b'mokayin she'ein ben ha'yesh ben ein yibam. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why I don't use the two against one argument, because if I use the two against one argument, I would say maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the ach has two against one. What's the two against one? Yibum and steyachuza. And who has only one? The son only has yud. So the steyachuza itself is something which is an issue. Who is the one that has preference? The only reason why I slot in steyachuza into the son's category and not into the brother's category is because the yibum itself is shvach. In which respect is the yibum shvach? By saying that the only time that a brother has that replacement, that he's a successor to his brother,
there's no child
when there is no child. But if there is a child, right, the child goes first, right, so to speak, but there's no yibum. So based on that, I slot in steyachuzin now to the son. So now I finally have two against one. But if I didn't have this svara of klum yeshim elam mokshim ben, I could say it's one and one, and I wouldn't know where to go and slot in steyachuz.
In the case of steyachuz,
so bottom line is, therefore, we have two by ben, we have the steyachuzah, and we have the yud. We have the one by the ach, and that one itself is a shvacha one. If you want, you can go and push that to the ben side, so we have now it's three against zero. Ben always has preference. That's why we are now changing the seder of the nachlois by putting a karav koidim, we're putting the father in. We put the father in after the ben, we do not put him in after the ach. We do not put the ach before the ben, and that's why we leave it that if a person passes away, first it's the ben, and then it's the father, and then it's the ach, and v'yetchem to be continued tomorrow. The atem hadveikim b'ashem alekeichem chayim kulchem hayoyim. Everybody should have a good fast and a gemach simcha.